You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The Daily is a five-day-a-week audio show from the New York Times, and it is heard by more than 2 million listeners every week, and it's carried by more than 200 public radio stations. And beginning tonight at 6 p.m., you will be able to start listening to The Daily right here on Boise State Public Radio News. So joining us today to talk more is the host of The Daily, Michael Barbaro. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm going to make an assumption that there might be one or two people that have not heard of The Daily. Mm-hmm. So for folks who are not familiar with your show, can you give them kind of just a quick idea of what you do on the program every day?
Absolutely. Well, we tell one story a day, and we find a way to tell it that is really rich with sound, with storytelling, with narrative, and with what we call big ideas. We really like to find the place in the news where you can hear a story that redefines how you think about that story, challenges how you think about that story. And it may be the story of a single individual caught up in the news who we will speak with on the show. It may be us out in the field finding a version of that story you've never heard before. It may be a colleague of mine from the New York Times kind of decoding the story and really explaining what it's all about. And that's what we do. And it's been, a very effective and deceptively simple concept of how to approach this pretty confounding moment of ours, which has been, I guess, a moment for the past 3 years or so.
Right. So how did you come up with the inception of the program?
Well, it's a great question. And I think the moment that the show was born in is very tied to what it's become. We started the show in the months after the 2016 presidential election with a question, which was, how do we solve for the fact that many of us in journalism kind of missed something pretty important about what was going on in that election and may have missed what it told us about the country in that moment? And how do we approach stories in ways that mean that doesn't happen again? And by that, I mean, how do we interrogate ourselves and our assumptions about the news? And how do we hand the microphone or the notepad over in a way that is responsible to the people who are in the middle of the story so that they have as much of a voice in telling the story as we do? And that means having really searching conversations. It means really letting people talk, and it means really listening.
How different is this from where you came from? And what I mean by that is, if for folks that don't know, you come from print journalism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's still storytelling, but it's different. What made you decide to kind of, you know, shift gears a bit with The Daily?
I didn't understand the power of audio when I first entered the world of audio storytelling, because I was, as you say, a print reporter, somebody who would go out into the world, assemble information, get back to my desk, and write as thoughtful and fair a story as possible. But inevitably, when you're a writer of journalism, the story is largely told through your words. And in audio, almost by definition, there's a tremendous amount of storytelling that goes on from the subjects of the stories. And sound creates a kind of intimacy and connection with the people telling the story. I don't have to tell you this. This is your world. But for a print reporter, it was very revelatory. And I learned it very quickly when we interviewed in the first couple months of the show, a coal miner, somebody who was going through a tremendous amount of change through the Obama years when the coal industry was shrinking by design of the federal government. And he had supported Donald Trump for president and was talking about what coal mining was looking like in his world and what coal mining had done for him. And just hearing in his actual voice the physical and health toll of being in the mines as he proudly described and defended this industry that for many people is a mortal threat to the environment, was a very, very powerful experience that immediately opened my eyes to why this medium was special.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, when you actually have that sound from normal people, right? I mean, it's one thing to get the big get and to interview people in positions of power, but I think there is something as powerful, maybe if not
more powerful,
right? Than when you talk to the people like this coal miner who truly are affected by decisions that are out of their hands, frankly.
Yeah, what was really powerful about that interview was the way in which he quite honestly leveled me by turning the questions back on me as the host and asked me when the last time I had been to a coal mine was. And my honest answer was that I had never been to one. And he kind of schooled me. And I don't mean that in a sarcastic way. He schooled me in the world of this industry that had paid for his family to live and supported them and put them through school. And it was in the most beautiful way possible, you know, a power dynamic that just evaporated in the moment.
Do you think too, I mean, with what you do, with how you're telling these stories, is that it also opens the listener's eyes, right? Because I've never been to a coal mine, right? I mean that, and you had not been to one until then. There are probably hundreds of thousands of people in the United States that have not even come close to living a life like this coal miner has. So does that kind of go back to this inception idea of what did we miss? And if we can figure that out, and if we can mm-hmm. give voice to it to other people, it seems to me like with what I've listened to on your podcast, it just gives a whole different perspective of an issue that we might think we have all the answers to already.
That's absolutely right. And we have done this time and time again with unexpected conversations. And, you know, to be very clear, there's a legitimate and really lively and important debate that goes on about an overcorrection in the media. Are you talking too much to one side because you felt you mm-hmm. didn't talk to them enough at some point? And we do this with all subjects. We do this with a police union official after a police shooting in Atlanta and ask very tough questions to understand where he comes from. We similarly do it with Senator Chuck Schumer and his policymaking in Washington. And I think because the show has as its tether and its backdrop the kind of the mighty news organization that is the New York Times, we can call upon those resources. And sometimes on the show, my colleagues who are the authorities in some of these beats and some of these universes will do the interviews, and then I will talk to them about it. And so you will hear them interacting with the people in their world and bringing those stories to life as well. So a kind of wonderful bonus of the show, beyond being, I think, a wonderful way to tell stories, is that it's really an incredibly transparent view into how the New York Times performs journalism.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to the host of The Daily, Michael Barbaro. Boise State Public Radio News will start carrying The Daily tonight at 6 p.m. You can listen every Monday through Thursday. So I'm curious, since you have the program is 30 minutes Monday through Friday, and it's basically one topic, what does your day kind of look like from the standpoint of putting the show together? Because that's a quick turnaround for folks that are not in this industry. That's a quick turnaround.
It is a quick turnaround. It's a lot of work. We have a very substantial staff of a few dozen people who work on the show. And we start, you know, at a pretty typical hour for most people in the world and end significantly later than they do. And producers are at the art and craft of turning around these interviews and making them, you know, sound so elegant and kind of impossibly well-crafted, you know, it can be pretty late night.
Mm-hmm. What kind of stories are you drawn to? Because I'm curious about how you as a team decide, you know, the topic you're going to focus on every day, because some days, you know, well, before COVID and all of that, some days, frankly, there may not have been much to choose from. Right now, we seem to be living in a time where there is almost too much to choose from. So how do you narrow it down?
Well, I would say that from the moment we launched the show, we were drinking from a fire hose because it was February 1st of 2017. And the very night we launched the show, the president nominated his first Supreme Court Justice, Neil Gorsuch, and it pretty much never stopped. And the number of times that we had to take a show that we thought was really pretty great and tear it up because of the news coming out of particularly Washington under this administration are too many to count. But you know, we have a very rigorous process in which we ask ourselves, what is going to sustain people's interest for 20, 25, 30 minutes? And you know, we talk about the elements of a great story. And I think those are pretty universal, but I love ticking through them, right? I mean, is there a character you can get invested in? Is there a set of stakes, whether they are emotional or legal or intellectual, that we can really engage? And is there just a great story to tell? And that pretty much guides us and has worked well in an environment in which there's so much news. And for example, the pandemic, you know, we have found some pretty remarkable ways to tell that story. Just to give you an example of a very unexpected way we told that story, we devoted a single episode entirely to a conversation with a young girl who had lost her grandfather to COVID-19. And she's young. I mean, this is a child that we spoke to with her parents' permission. And the ways in which she expressed loss through the eyes of a child of a beloved grandfather and the memories of sitting on the roof and gazing at the stars with him and what he meant to her, the color of pain when you are that young, the words you use to describe it, was a pretty astonishing version of what may now be sadly regarded as a very familiarly awful experience of losing someone to this virus. And the response we got was so powerful that it was exactly what people didn't know they wanted to hear.
Have you been surprised by the impact this program has had?
Yes.
I'm sure that you knew, right, that when you started it, okay, there must be a need for this program. But to the extent that people have, have embraced this program.
It's a surprise to me as someone who comes from a different medium. And I think it's very bound up in the power of audio storytelling. And I think it speaks to the fact, and listeners of this station who care about high quality journalism, I think identify with this, is that there is a lot of very noisy, angry, partisan journalism right now. And I think that people really do crave authentic storytelling. I mean, it's, public radio, it goes to the core of its mission. Just great stories told with passion and fairness and humanity and without rancor. And that is actually pretty rare still.
I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with us, especially knowing how busy you are with this. We've been talking with the host of The Daily, Michael Barbaro, Boise State Public Radio News. We'll start carrying The Daily tonight at 6 p.m. You'll be able to listen every Monday through Thursday. Michael, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. We're so grateful to be with you now.
Oh, we are excited. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette.